Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Rod Chalk inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Today, I want to talk to you about becoming the invitation. I believe that where we're going right now, and just let me step into a prophetic role here for a second. I believe that where we are going right now, how many of us had a challenging few years? Just put up your hand, be honest about it. Okay, challenging few years. Okay, there's been some rough stuff. Okay? It really has. And yet in the midst of this, God's doing something. Come on now, I know he's doing something in me. It feels like tearing down a house and rebuilding sometimes, but he's doing something within us because he is preparing us to reap a harvest. One of the things that I wanna do this morning, and I'm just trying to be sensitive to all the kids that are in the room and everything that like that, but I want you to hear my heart. When I was 5 years old, I gave my heart to Jesus. I can remember being in this church called West End Revival Temple, and I was so very young, very little, and I remember that our teacher we were in this little weird room that was off to the side near the bathrooms, actually, and the pastor, she was like a pastor, but the Sunday school teacher said this, and maybe you've heard me say it. She didn't ask who wants to ask Jesus in their heart today. She basically preached the gospel to us and asked, who wants to give their life to Jesus? And from that day for me, I recognized that I no longer owned my own life and that everything that I was about to do was for him. And you might say, well, you know, is that like you didn't have a very good life? Now you just had to, are you kidding me? You would not believe the places that the Lord has taken me. This little kid got to go to Taiwan. I've been able to be all over the world in different places. He has put me in such amazing opportunities, even before I was married. The things that God brought me through and brought me to and did with my life is just kind of shocking. I mean, if I was to sit there when we were in school, if you've ever done this, if you don't, you know, this is not a good thing to do. But if you would line up all the classmates in school, I was not one that would have been chosen most likely to succeed. Come on now. I was at those times, I struggled with reading, I struggled with those things. I mean, I did okay in school, but okay meant, you know, C+, sometimes hit a B. But when you've got people around you that are pulling A's and A+'s, that B looks like, and looks like maybe a C, and maybe even feel like a D at times. But in all of those things, God used my life. And yet when I was 5 years old, I remember her saying again, who wants to give your life to Jesus? And then at 7, I had an amazing experience at 7 years old. And many of you maybe have a hard time believing this. But at 7 years old, I was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. And I began to go on a journey with the Holy Spirit, having literally the presence of God showing up on my captain's bed. Okay, did anyone know what a captain's bed is? You know, you got the posts on it. It was my captain's bed was hilarious because mom used to give us, during Christmas, would give us stockings. Anybody get stockings over Christmas, right? And she would come in and we were sleeping. We're supposed to be sleeping. And she would put them on the little knobs on the end. But my mom was sneaky because she would sew these little bells on the end of it. So if you were to be like ringy, 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 you're busted. So here's me in the middle of the night on my captain's bed, trying to see if I can grip all of the bells all at the same time and pick it up onto my bed and get all the stuff out and then pack it all back in the morning. Now, it only happened maybe it happened more than I want to say, but, you know, mom, the stuff, again, she just loved to make that and do that stuff for us. But that same captain's bed, that same place was the place where I felt like Jesus walked in the room and would sit with me and talk with me. Did I see a physical being walk in the room? No, but I just knew that Jesus was in the room with me, that the Holy Spirit was talking to me. I can remember time and time again where these things began to happen, and I was young. And I remember that at 12 years of age, I sat there and said, you know what, I remember some of these things of salvation, but at 12 years of age, I said, you know what, I'm giving it all, and got baptized in water. in this small little church and with this Scottish, you know, pastor that talked with a brogue that sometimes, and he was tough in the sense that, you know, he'd grab a hold of you and pray with you, and he believed in laying on his hands in many different ways, and he'd shake you sometimes when he'd be praying for you because he'd get so excited. But that man, he sat there and he was like, we get down and we go down in the waters of baptism and come back up. And he says, he's kind of like a Jeff Johns somewhat, where he says something as he's doing something, so you really don't have a choice. In other words, he just grabs a hold, and he's grabbing a hold of him. He goes, you know, Rodney, stay still. Holy Spirit is coming. And I'm telling you, that little, it was those types of things like this where you could see a window through, but it was at the back. And the Holy Spirit just filled that room. And once again, I began to then go on a journey of being filled and filled and filled and recognizing that I couldn't wait. It wasn't a matter of waiting till I got to church so somebody could pray for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It was a daily experience of saying, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy, I can't do this. I can't go to school and be different, because you want to sit there and all of a sudden see if those parents, your kids go to school and it's rough sometimes. It's rough, period. It's rough. It's just hard sometimes. If there's any bullying involved, and then you add in the fact that you're going to stand up as a Christian in the middle of your school, and you're not going to do this, and you're just not going to be involved in that. And there is things that begin to happen that you have to have the Holy Spirit in your life to be able to help you walk through it. But I say all of that for this, that there is an invitation coming through us to a world around us to encounter Jesus and to encounter the Holy Spirit. You see, I'm a firm believer that, I don't worry about my salvation. I don't sit there and go, did I forget? Did I ask for forgiveness for this? Did I do this? I don't live like that. I don't live day to day. I don't go to bed at night and wonder, did I repent of everything that I did messed up with? I don't do those things because I have a firm foundation to believe that Jesus has died for me and I have given him my life and he has forgiven me for my sins. But that doesn't mean either, that I have a way where I decide that I can do whatever I want to do now. There is a life of holiness that you begin to walk into, and yet that can be, for many, can be the sense of feeling like, oh, you say the word holiness and whoa, back up. You're talking about the fact of having long skirts on, and you're talking about, I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm talking about radically giving your life to Jesus. Do you know that at 5 years old, I was a sinner? Yeah, that's my daughter over in the corner going, what? 5 years old, I needed Jesus. And you might say, hang on a second, let's not get into the theology of when someone understands and knows and all of those things. I'm not here to talk about that today. What I'm talking about is I needed a Savior. I could not enter into heaven without a Savior. I'm continually proving it. Anybody there? I'm continually proving it, that I still, after over 52 years, I still can't get to heaven without a Savior. Come on now. And this is the sense of going, Lord, what you've done for me. And when we become, and you see the story in a second, we're only going to look at about three or four verses in here. There's so many more invitations. But when I think about it, I was reading a book this week by Max Lucado, and he talked about the invitation that was given to King David. You see, it was out of the cultural norm. He was the youngest. He wasn't even brought in when Samuel came in to say, hey, where's your sons? We're going to not, one of them is going to be king. And they didn't even get into the make, didn't even get in. He was still out in the field. It's like, ain't going to be David. Let's just stick him out there. But God stepped into the moment and gave him an invitation to do something miraculous. What King David was able to accomplish by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, anybody know his life? Was he perfect? Oh,
Anybody done some of the, don't put up your hand, okay? Some of the things that he did, okay? You know what I'm saying? That there's some, woo, David, really, okay? But what does the Bible describe him? As a man after God's own heart. Because this is the sense of pursuing through all the garbage. That not allowing my failure to become something that holds me back from his presence. To not allowing the way I mess up to sit there and wonder, am I worthy to walk in? And we may know, we've got enough training to know mentally that that's not true, but we still stay outside of his presence. We expect sometimes, because of our failures, that we're going to reap the penalty of them. And right now, he did that for me so he would reap the penalty for my sin. There is a world around me, though, that I have been lately saying, Lord, I need you. I know it's just a phrase, and I know it can be sometimes clichéic, but I need you to break my heart for what breaks yours. I need you to break my heart for the lost again, Lord. I need you to break my heart for my neighbor. I need you to break my heart. I need you to be able to see, because here's something that's hard. In fact, when I say this, I've been at a church and I've had someone leave because of this. But you see, do you know that good people don't go to heaven? Do you know that people that have the character of Jesus don't go to heaven? Salvation is not about how good you are. It's not about those things. It's about that you've chosen him as your Savior and Lord, and that you've repented of your sins, and you're now depending upon him fully to walk out this life. See, it's not about being good. There's people that are better than I am at being good, and they don't know Jesus. Come on now. I've seen people that they have the characters of the fruit of the Spirit, and you're like, how did that happen? You don't have the Spirit. Because they are doing these things by their own measure. Now, I understand that it's different. I understand that. Don't come up to me later and have a theological discussion with me. But here's what I'm trying to say is that we need to once again realize that there's a world outside of us that needs Jesus. And here's what I want to become. I want to become an invitation. I want them to see. Now, I don't mean the fact that I've got to be perfect. I mean the fact that they will see Jesus in me, and they will see an invitation. For this lady, if you're looking up at John chapter 4 right now, and we see this is the story, very familiar story of the woman at the well, and she, boy, she's been through it. She's really someone that probably, in essence, you might not spend a whole lot of time with, because this person, I'm trying to figure out with kids in the room all that to say, but that she lived a life that when Jesus asks her, go get your husband, and she says, I don't have one. She goes, yeah. And he says, yeah, you've had five basically. And the one you're living with right now is not your husband. And in those moments and in those days, in fact, she is such the scourge of the community that when she comes to get water, which is what she's doing to supply for her household and for herself, that she doesn't come in the early mornings, which many of the women do, or in the late evenings, which many of the women would come and they would get the water that was there. She comes in the middle of the day in the hot, scorching sun because she doesn't want somebody to look over at her and go and gossip. Come on now, right? So she's like, you know what? I had enough of that. I had enough of these people telling me all this. I've had enough of this. In fact, she goes then to the measure of all the heat, all the things that are going on, and she's willing to take all of that just to avoid an encounter with anybody. And this woman walks in, and I love the passage, and I'm not going to read. You can go home and read the whole story later. But in this moment, what happens is I would say it to you this. For us, we need to be focused right now on becoming an invitation to the world around us. And this is how we do it. In order to become number one, if you're going to write something down, in order to become an invitation, you need to take the road less traveled. I think Jesus is an amazing example in this story because nobody goes through Samaria.
In fact, you know the Good Samaritan story, right? This is the town that we're talking about, the people that we're talking about. The Jews hated the Samaritans, and the Samaritans hated the Jews equally. A Jew would go all the way around Samaria the long way just to not have to go in and not have to see anybody. I don't even want to come near those Samaritans. And this was the hatred between the two was palatable, if you'd say. But Jesus says this. In fact, this is John writing this in chapter 4, verse 4. It says this, and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field of Jacob that had given to his son Joseph. The part to grasp there is he had to pass through Samaria. You see, he was listening to his father and listening to what his father was saying because he was about to go become again an invitation to somebody. And in this moment, it's going to take that sense of intentionality, being intentional. Look up at me for a second. If you're on your phone, please look up here just for me for a second. There is the sense of being intentional. What this means is, and I'm trying. I'm saying, Holy Spirit, help me. But the intentionality of going, you know what? With all my imperfections, God's given me a testimony. He's given me something to say. And he will speak through me when I speak to others. And that belief system that it's not up to me to reach someone, it's up to me to open my mouth. Come on now. Right? It's the fact of me to be willing to do this. And for me, it's that sense of being intentional that when I go, and I mean, some of you are tired of hearing us say this, but when we walk into a store, when we go into a place, we're intentional trying to sit there and see what I'm trying to do right now is as soon as I see a sign up above a store, I'm trying to make a trigger in my brain to say, Rod, be available. Not go in and go, who is it today? Okay, I'm not talking about doing that, being all weird, okay? I'm not talking about, excuse me for a second, I have this pamphlet here about the four spiritual laws. Would you take a minute? Okay, I'm not talking about that. There is a time to go through the four spiritual laws. If that's what you want to do, it doesn't matter. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being an invitation and being intentional in our brain. And I'll tell you a story a little bit where I really, really messed up with that lately. But I would say it this way too. In order to become the invitation, you will need to take the road less traveled. You'll need to sit there and go, you know what? Everybody looks over at that homeless person with disgust. I'm not going to do that. Everybody looks at that person and whoever it would be, and they walk over and they see them and they judge them immediately. They see that person that walks in and they're cursing and swearing. You know, I was a truck driver for a while, and I it is not a saying or a fallacy that truck drivers know how to swear. Not all of them. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. And you see, in those moments, what has to happen is you have to shift your brain because you're being offended by the language that's coming out of their mouth. And some of you are already done that and you're already past that. But it's something where whatever they're saying, I mean, I've had somebody, you know, you show up at a dock and the shipper comes out and he says, man, have I got a joke for you. You know, and he begins to, before I can even just adjust the situation or see, the joke is coming out and my color is changing because it's so bad. And then it's just like, but see, here's what we sometimes want to do. Yeah, you know what? I'm a Christian. Please don't say those things in front of me. I may be stepping on some toes here today. But instead, I'm trying to go, God, how do I reach that person? What do I do today? How do I become the invitation to that person? How do I not let that become a judgment to that person? How do I let the way that they look, the way that they talk, the way that they smell? Have you ever been around someone and deodorant is not really their thing, shall we say, it seems? And you go up close to them and, I mean, how do we get to the point where we go, that doesn't matter. I'm going to become the invitation to that person. And that might be as simple as a smile for some of them. It might be an encouragement. It might be, Holy Spirit, as I just got a few seconds ago that I needed to hear that, that somebody walks up and says, hey, you know what? I don't know. And you have a word and the Holy Spirit gives you a word. And it doesn't have to be, thus saith the Lord, God hath toldeth me forth you with. Okay? Like, please don't do that. Be natural. Just be natural. Can I encourage you today with something? You know, and this is this way, because we are then becoming this invitation. Second thing, in order to become this invitation, we must walk in humility. It's got to become something. You know, I have a phrase that I use, and it's not because, and humility is not looking down on yourself. And humility is not sitting there making yourself lesser so somebody else can become more that's around you, that's pressing you. Humility is the fact of understanding and knowing yourself and yet knowing how much God loves you and how much he still can use you. See, this sense of humility, what it does is humility makes a way. Humility recognizes that everyone needs Jesus. Everyone. Look around us. You see, I don't know about you, but I'm busy. Anybody busy? Man, I've bought, putting in a kitchen. Wow, that's busy stuff. And do you know that very little of it works the first time? I am amazed. I see people on YouTube do this thing. And I'm like, I do it and mine don't look like that. In fact, mine's a little dangerous, you know, and you're just like, how did they do that? And they're like, and if you only, you just do this and this and this and this and this. Let me just speed it up. No, slow it down. Slow it down. I need to see what, and you know, there's this sense within us though, that humility comes in and teaches us though, that every single person is worthy of the message. Come on now. Every single person around you is worthy of the message. See, is worthy of the invitation. I'm changing my belief system on something. Ooh. Uh-oh. You're like, oh, what's it? No, it's not a theological stance. I am maybe returning is a better way to say it than changing. I am returning to the expectation that the Holy Spirit's going to lead me to somebody every single day. And that I don't have to figure out what the message is going to be. Because he's the message in me. And he will show us every single day who it is we need to be this invitation. Humility welcomes, listen to this, superiority distances. In fact, in the church, if superiority kind of looks like many different things, but it looks like the fact of if you would only do your finances like I do my finances, if you would only maybe speak like I speak, if you'd only maybe dress like I dress, if you only, and we would, none of us do this up front. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're clicking it off. Nope, not me, not me, not me, not me. And yet there is this sense sometimes that we can look over because they're not doing something the way, and I'm telling you, this house is going to be filled up. And then look around us right now. Isn't this wonderful to have the house filled? But guess what? There are going to be some smelly people that are going to come sit beside you next. Seriously, there's going to be some people, there's going to be some wonderful people, as far as you say, that maybe just are struggling with some things and they need to come. What we can't do is go, oh, that person looks successful. Come sit over beside me. We make room for everyone. In fact, we make room for liars. We make room for cheats. And you're like, some of you just looked at me like, what? I didn't say that we expose ourselves into the point of where we can become used by them. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is they are potential to know Jesus, and they are worthy of the message. Jesus humbles himself. Remember what I told you about the Samaritans and they hated each other? Jesus is a Jew, and it's very obvious that he's a Jew, and he's sitting beside this well, and this woman comes up to him, and he does this amazing word of humility. He says,
give me a drink. And he's like, you can read by that and go, that's okay, he's looking for a drink, he's thirsty. No, no, no. What he's saying right in that moment is, as a Jewish man, he would never speak to this woman ever. And he would never speak to the Samaritans. That is not what would happen in this situation. And it would not be culturally respectful even to ask the question that he asked. And she's waiting for a lecture. Come on now. This is what's happening. She is waiting for this Jew to give her a lecture on how terrible she is and how terrible her people are. But in this moment, he humbles himself and says, give me a drink. He is willing not only to talk to her, but to receive something from her. That's why he turns around and says, if you only knew who I was, you would receive from me the water of life. Our time is flying by this morning. Here's what I would say, number three. Let me, well, before I go there, with the sense of, I have a story that I wanted to tell you, two of them. And then we have, I have a little, man, time is flying. Okay, so here's my illustration of the fact of that it is, can I say this? I'm trying to say this as nicely as possible, Pastor Jay. Do you know that you're responsible for everything that comes out of your mouth? And you're responsible for how your face looks. All these fingers are pointing back this way. You've heard me say this before, right? But I am responsible. We would say, no, 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 they're responsible. They should get to know me. They should step in. They should trust me. They should this, they should that. They should know, why should I have to change? We're responsible for the things that come out of our mouth. We are responsible. When I was pastoring in Woodbridge, I walked into after church, and as many times we do, we walk into where? Church after church, you go get food, okay? It's not everywhere, not here maybe all as much, but we go get food. In fact, we're either going to go to a restaurant, go to Swiss Chalet or at that time, or we're sit there going to go get something and take it home. This time, we were going and getting something and we were taking it home. And I walked into this restaurant, and there is, it's a fast food place, and so you walk into the line, and there's nobody anywhere in there but this one lady that's at the front. And this lady is giving it to the clerk, just ripping him up, down, one side, all over, because she's been waiting now so long for her food. And there's definitely something going on in the back kitchen, because there's noises and dropping of things and everything else that you know this probably isn't good. But this lady is just ripping this guy up and down, telling him off, just saying things that, okay, she's not cursing, she's not swearing, but she is just giving it to him, ripping him over. And she turns around and looks at me and she says, Pastor Rod. And then she says, wasn't worship wonderful today? And I went, rapture, 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 psh, gone. I'm out of here. And the craziest thing is she turned around and she started berating him again. And I'm like, and so she got her stuff finally and she took off and she went. And this is not a new Christian. I've known this person for, at that time, probably for 30 years. This is not a new Christian. And she leaves with her food, and I got to step into the thing. And the young guy's like, going to help you. It's like he was almost steadying himself, right? Like, here we go, round two, because you're with her. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, what do I do? Because I'm not going to gossip about her, okay, in this way, if you understand. I'm not going to throw her under the bus at this moment in front of this guy. But I need to figure out how to change his view, because she could have just scarred. Not only did she spoil and scar my invitation, but she could have spoiled the invitation for this young man forever. You say, come on now. That's a little extreme, isn't it? Do you know how many people that I've talked to? They start, well, you know, this and they go down that road. And I walked up to the counter, and I did say, I'm sorry. And And the Holy Spirit gave me a word for him right away. I was so grateful because I had nothing. You know that feeling like you feel like God's going to say something to him, but it's crickets. Nothing's going on. And then and had a word and encouraged, and we laughed together, and I waited a long time for my food. But I put a smile on, and I waited. See, in those moments, I am the invitation. And it's not about being perfect, because guess what? I was the church lady about a month ago. I was that lady about a month ago. I walked into Costco. I should tell you the whole story right there. That's how it begins. And I walked into Costco, and what had happened, though, was that my dad had actually been in the hospital that night, and we'd had 4:30 in the morning. We had to call the ambulance and take him to the hospital. And so we had spent in our wonderful hospitals, and we're such nice nurses, great nurse. Thank the Lord for those nurses. They're just awesome. We're so blessed by those nurses, and they were doing the best they could with what they had. And but it was a rough night. It was a rough time, and I was absolutely exhausted. What does the scripture say about Jesus and the moment where the woman at the well is? That he was wearied. I love that because it shows his humanity. He's been traveling in the sun and he's exhausted. Well, I was exhausted at that moment. And in fact, so my dad has come out of the hospital, and you know, when you're in the hospital and whatnot, and when you go, I mean, basically he had his, because we left with his PJs, and so you come back in his PJs, and dad's like, oh, I don't believe you're gonna tell this story, right? I'll kill you later. Okay, but here's the thing. It's important. You'll get it in a second. Okay, so I don't want to ask my dad to come inside, and so we have to go in, and I'm going in to pick up glasses, okay? And so I get in there, and I am exhausted, had a nerve-wracking situation. We're all tired. We are, and anyways, I walk in, and I said, I'm here to pick up glasses for Reg Chalk, and she looks at me and she's like, oh, okay. And she looks at me like weird, like, why did you say your name? Like the third person kind of looked at me. She wanted identification and whatnot. And mine does not say Reg Chalk on it. She goes, well, I can't give these to you. Who are they for? And they're for my dad. And I did not swear. I did not yell. I did not scream. But I began to give this woman a hard, hard time. And I let my weariness spoil my invitation to the point where we needed the glasses because dad's was broken. And so I had to go get dad, bring him inside, okay, and in there and sit down. And when I got in there, guess what she had done? She had passed it off to a coworker so that the coworker could take care of us. I was the church lady. I failed badly. And in that moment, I spoiled the potential that day to be an invitation. I'm responsible, right? And I don't mean the fact that we have to be perfect, because that's kind of the end of the stick. But there is an understanding that in my weariness, I have to be on guard that I don't allow my weariness to spoil my invitation. Are you with me? And then, you know, to try to redeem something of it, because it's funny. Where do you have to walk when you walk out of Costco? What do you walk by? You walk by the optical center. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but you got your cart and you're leaving, and you go, there's the lady, okay. There's the lady. And she's like, there's the guy, right? And finally, it was like, I don't know, two or three times, I'm like, yes, Holy Spirit. And I walked over and I said, I owe you an apology. And she was like, for what? I'm like, you know for what. And she's like, well, you know. And I'm like, I was wrong. So wrong. And I'm going to ask you to just forgive me, please. And she was so confused. Like, she was confused. Because she apparently no one had ever done that before. Not yay me. I messed up badly. But I'm like, I'm not going to let this spoil my ability to have an invitation. Because I remembered in the moment that the last time I got glasses, I sat down and talked to the lady that was over the other side, just about the wonderful things that God was doing. Come on now, right? In the midst of these things. You see, the last thing I would say, wow, okay, the last thing I would say is this, watch. Number three, okay? In order to be the invitation this world needs, we must be interruptible. How many of you like a schedule? Some of you really like a schedule. I've been around you. Hi, honey. Okay, so some people really, really, really like a schedule. Everything is... I am not so much, but I've got something to do, you know, like I wake up in the morning, I'm expecting it, I'm going out to accomplish something, and then poof, your plans just explode. How many of you are so cheerful at that moment? You are so happy. Like, I mean, anybody can ask anything from you at that moment. You're just so excited to be alive. No, okay, but in those moments where I believe we're going, we have to be interruptible. And what I want to do is I want to show you a video I had permission from, we're doing in our Thrive group, this amazing book. It's called Meant for Good, and it's by, her first name just went out of my mind. Her last, Megan Faith Marshman. It was kind of cool. I sent her a message this week. And asked her basically for permission to show a clip from one of the things. And within 10 minutes, I had a response back, so excited that we were going to use it and that would be great. And I'm like, wow, that was different. And so I'm so grateful that we can do this because Facebook will flag you and all the rest of the stuff, right? And so it's great to be able to do this. But I want you to watch. This is the lesson of being interruptible. Go ahead and play that video for us. Just turn off the lights back there.
Divine encounters oftentimes start with simple questions. That was the statement I was writing on my laptop at a coffee shop when a lady walked up to me. So I remember I'd written that, divine encounters oftentimes start with simple questions. And I was in the middle of writing this message. I put my earphones in to let people know how social I was planning on being. And as I began to type, I remember the woman walked up. She said, "Excuse me, do you know how to use a Macintosh?" I remember doing this guy and looking at her and going, "I'm sorry, did you say something?" Because bless her heart, doesn't understand the social cues. It's, "Do you say something?" And she responds with, yeah, "Do you know how to use a Macintosh?" Not a Mac, not a MacBook Pro, just Mac. It's fine. This is what I did. True story. Sure do. And I continued. Divine encounters oftentimes start with simple questions. And I'm like rephrasing it because I'm like, this is so good. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw her go back to her table. Okay, good. Because I'm in the middle of doing this ministry. And that was when the Holy Spirit convicted me. Why? Because I read my own screen and instantly I felt terrible for how I had treated her. And you guessed it, at that very moment, I read what I had written on the screen. Divine encounters oftentimes start with simple questions. Are you interruptible? Me either. Except this one time, I took out my earbuds, dropped them like a microphone, walked over to the woman's table. "Ma'am, I do know how to use a Macintosh. How can I help you?" Her response, "Oh, great," she said, "because I'm writing this paper comparing and contrasting Islam and Christianity. I'm just, trying to find the truth." Of course you are. And I almost missed it. See, I was focused on my own plans and I almost missed out on his. And friends, so will you. On the road to wherever you are headed, whatever is next, lies a host of chances for God to interrupt you with his plans, to actively trust him and his plans, even if it means laying down your own, if you're interruptible. See, divine encounters are all around if you're open to them.
Amen. Let's stand together this morning. And so, truly, I want you to look across the aisle just for a second, and I want you to see somebody with a good invitation. Come on, look around. That's everybody here. Okay, that you have something to say. And you have, most importantly, the God of the universe that is within you that is going to give you the ability to be that invitation that somebody needs this week. So here's my question. Are you willing?
I know that. Come on, like, and I'm asking that honestly, right? If you don't say yes, there's not going to be a lightning strike. Okay. Yeah, you sure? Yeah. But the honesty of this is that, Lord, here am I. Send me. Lord, shaking, whatever else, here am I. Send me. That my life would be an invitation to a lost world around. Because, Lord, without you, they don't have any hope. Without you, there's not a chance, because it's not about good people going into eternity. It's about those that have given their lives to you, Lord. So, God, I pray today, even if there's somebody here in the room and says, you know, I'm not sure if I have. It's as simple as this, saying, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I ask you to be my Savior and my Lord. Come, take my life and use me. It's as simple as that. And so, Lord, we again, though, we stop, all of us, and we say, here we are, Lord. We give our lives to you again, that at every moment of every day, I will be conscious, I will be intentional of the invitation and of the message that my face is saying, that my tone is saying, that whatever it would be that I'm saying. Because, Lord, you have given me your salvation. I am free in you, and we desire for everyone around us to experience you in this way as well. So God, I pray that as we this week, everywhere we walk, everywhere we go, that we would recognize that, Lord, you are good in us, and we have a good invitation. Even, Lord, whatever it is that you ask us to do, we are willing and we are ready, Lord, for you to use us to reach the harvest. In your name, and everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Well, I bless you as you go today. Everywhere you go today, just be that invitation. Encourage somebody, even in the building today, just be an encouragement. Bless you.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.